Some of you may have noticed that I got a new car. I got it about 6 weeks ago and made a trip in it last week, and already had a nice little rock come up from the road and hit the windshield and crack it. I'm not happy about this. I was behind one of those big dump trucks that had that ever-present sign on it that says, "Not responsible for damage caused by objects coming from the road." Now, my point of contention, if I were going to stop that truck and argue about it, is that the object coming from the road originally came from the truck. It seems nothing more than a slick way of getting around responsibility for a lot of broken windshields. That approach to try to explain away problems is something that comes up for me in one line of today's gospel. One line causes the same disquiet, except this time with theological issues. The line is a very famous one in the Gospel of John: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." My question is, if God is all-powerful and created the whole system, why create this system? Why was it necessary to send his only Son for us if God made up the rules? It doesn't make sense. I can't make it into a system at all. This gospel, ironically, is seen, especially this line of John's gospel, is seen by many as the picture, the sort of in a capsule, the gospel of salvation. John 3:16. How many times have we seen in our younger days the guy with the rainbow wig in the background of sports events getting on camera, waving a sign that says John 3:16, as if he wanted everybody to know about this, and if everybody knew about it, they would want to pursue God. It seems if he wants everyone to know about it, it should be of such great comfort that it would draw people to God. But to me, John 3:16 causes many more theological problems than it solves. It's the same kind of concern when we speak about God's role in suffering in our world. God is all-powerful and is loving, so why do people suffer? Why create this system? Many people will say, well, God doesn't cause suffering, but doesn't God allow it? Even if it comes through some agency in this world, doesn't it originally come from God, or is at least allowed in God's system? Didn't the rock start out in the truck and not on the side of the road? But humankind has always looked for explanations, for a way to make everything fit in our understanding of God. We have written many, many words about the idea of atonement, that God needed to send Jesus to pay for our sins. But that causes me to wonder. If God invented the system and God is in control and God loves us, why make that system in a way that requires God's own sacrifice? It seems to be circular and convenient reasoning when we talk about the atonement. Why would God do something so cruel as to make someone innocent pay for all the guilty? The human world is laced with suffering. Some will say that suffering exists because of sin, but not all suffering can be traced to anyone's sinfulness. The book of Job, the entire book, is devoted to solving this question: why does God allow the faithful to suffer? If you're familiar with that book of the Bible, Job's friends offered explanations, most of which said, you must have sinned and brought it on yourself. Even if you don't remember it, God wouldn't just do this. In our Old Testament reading today, we have another example that the people were a bunch of whiners, basically. They were being fed, and they were whining about the quality of the food, and so God just decided they weren't really being very faithful, and he sent, according to this reading, he sent the serpents to bite them. And then he sent something to save them. If it's God's system, why this system? And speaking of Job, Carl Jung said of Job that this is really hard, a hard story for us to deal with, and this whole idea of suffering allowed by God. And Jung said of Job, Job expected help from God against God. When we pray for God's help from the troubles of the world, if we believe God is all-powerful and loving, we expect help from God against God. The book of Job visits this question about God's justice, but offers a very unsatisfying ending. The ending, in a little nutshell, is that God is God, Job, get over it. It's not a very satisfying ending for me. And as I studied this week, I began to think that there's a more satisfying ending to Job in John 3:16. God loves you. Trust God to be with you. You need not explain, because your need to explain is not about God at all, it's about you. So don't explain. Experience. Many people in our world explain suffering with the idea of the devil, a being which manipulates human lives in a cruel way. And then that allows us to say that the suffering in the world doesn't come directly from God. But again, if God is all-powerful, why would God let such an evil being exist and manipulate us and hurt us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. You can say all you want that the rock came from the side of the road, but without the truck, it wouldn't have been there at all. In the face of this inscrutable mystery, I think the most mature and transformative prayer that we can pray is, teach me to let God be God and give me peace in whatever happens, knowing as I do that God is good and loving, that God is with me. Don't explain it, experience it. All of our stories in all of Scripture tell us that God never abandoned the people. God does not abandon us. We are saved by the grace of God. I guess the next question would be, saved from what? Saved for what? And the answer is that we are saved to be with God, to experience intimacy with our Creator, both after this world and in this world. God so loved the world, knowing how fallen the world is. To me, then, salvation is more about the incarnation than it is about atonement. It is that God is here with us, and God chose to be here with us. We already participate in the promise of another world every moment in which we choose to be with God, even amid our own suffering and trouble. And we're called in gratitude for our salvation, for that gift of God's presence with us, to live, as one author puts it, to live humanly during the fall, a fall which does exacerbate our suffering, but doesn't cause it always. Divine love is stronger than the judgment we deserve. And that divine love carried Israel through a time of exile, and it stays with us in our time here. And God is with us when the news reveals the latest atrocity, when the doctor's visit reveals the latest weakness, when the calendar reveals the latest scary birthday. I think the point of John 3:16 is not that a system comprehensible to humans explains our salvation. The point is that God is with us. God loved the world. Present tense, God loves the world. The truth about John 3:16 to me is that it serves as the final chapter, the final answer to Job's dilemma. You cannot figure out the suffering in the world, especially your own. So stop trying to figure it out and choose to be with God. God gave his only son so that we would not be alone in our suffering. God's son experienced the most inexplicable suffering, the suffering of the innocent. I don't see that as a payment. I see it as an assurance that God is with us even in the worst of times. Just because we cannot explain God's saving grace doesn't mean we live in fear. We live in peace and joy. John 3:16 tells us bottom line that God does love us, knowing what we have done and left undone. God loves us and wanted to be with us so much that God gave us the divine and human form, his only son. We're saved by the grace of God. That's the point of John 3:16, that God chose to come be with us. We needn't perfect the equation so that the sides balance in any understandable way. In fact, we cannot explain this. We are simply to accept and live in gratitude. When the rock comes up off the road and the glass breaks, we only need to know one saving fact. God is here to help us see. God is here. We're being self-indulgent, and we waste the gift of grace when we continue to obsess about where that rock came from. Amen.